Don't forget Wednesday night, church, we have prayer every week. Now, there's a three-prong approach to the kingdom of God that God's put in my heart. Number one, supernatural prayer. Wednesday night, we're lighting the flame of prayer. We want you to come and be a part of this supernatural prayer time. It's only 1 hour, but it's powerful. And then we're going to be reaching out with a more aggressive tone to the hungry, to the prisoner, to the poor, to the down and out, ministering to them the hope and the love of Christ. And then third, we're going to be living and moving and operating in the supernatural power of God, right? The presence of God can turn a life around. The miracles of God, the working of the gifts of the Spirit. We must press in to what God has for us as a church. And so I'm excited. I don't know that I've been any more encouraged than now in a long time. And I'll tell you one thing. A lot of it has to do with Tony Trevisano's life and how he impacted us in the last 3 months. 3 months, you'll hear more in just a moment, okay? But thank you for your giving. It's so awesome. And we're going to be praying for the Marines, right? The Marines, Camp Lejeune, is that where you're headed? Paris Island. Oh, that's right, Camp Paris Island. Paris Island is like a retreat center. How many have ever been to Paris Island? Can I see your hand? Okay, you all know what I'm talking about. We know, but you know what? You're more than a conqueror, and God's going to do great things in your life. He's got his hand on you, so don't worry about it. That's right. Amen. All right, before we go on, I really want us to do something today, and not just to, you know, kind of oblige me, but I mean, I want you in a moment to be Spirit-led to two or three people and let them know that God's love can carry you through anything. And that God loves you so much that it doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been, God has a great plan for your life. And I think we need to encourage each other with that, okay? So can we just take a minute, stand to our feet, find two or three people, and look in their eyes and let them know that the love of God is powerful. Come on, let's do it, church. Amen. Okay, I'll call them up. Amen. That's awesome. The old hymn of the church said, "Love lifted me." Right? Love lifted me when nothing else would do. Something like that. Love lifted me. All right. That's awesome. Praise God. Yeah. Good, isn't it? Good to be together. I'm going to tell you something about the love of God. It is a powerful, powerful agent in the earth. And when the love of God is released, manifested, felt, I'm going to give you a warning for this sermon. You probably should have wore a dust mask or whatever it's called. You know those surgical masks that you wear? Yeah, because you're about to catch something this morning. Yeah. You ever notice like when you go somewhere, you got a little tickle in your throat and you're like, oh man, I caught catching a cold or something. You ever feel that? Well, you're about to walk out of here today going, oh, man, I just caught the love of Jesus Christ. I just want you to know that there is a contagious love of God that's been released in this house. I think we ought to lift up our hands and say, thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, God, for your love that even when we were unlovable, you still loved us. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a praise in here. Come on. Hallelujah. Woo. You know, Jesus was really high on love. Did you know that? John 13, he said, I'm going to give you a new commandment. Now, why did he say that? Because the disciples and the people, they had known about commandments. There was all kind of commandments. Moses' commandments. Come on. All kind of them. The Pharisees added 600 and some odd extra commandments. He said, I'm going to give you a new one. They're like, oh man, here we go. Another commandment. But this is what he said. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Now watch what he said. As what? As I have. Now he's saying, look, I just don't want you to love other people, you know, on this kind of level. No, here's the standard. I want you to love others the way I have loved you. Can you fathom the love of God in your life? Did you know how much God loved you? That while we were yet a sinner, God died for us. He loved us when we didn't know anything about love. That's what he said. I want you to love like that. He goes on to say that you may prove, or that you also love one another by this. All will know that you're my disciples. Listen, church. You're not a disciple, or people don't know you're a Christian because you go to church. Thumbs down. You're not a disciple or a Christian because you give money, or you've written a book, or you appeared on some TV program, or you can sing like a bird. That's good stuff, but thumbs down. Jesus said this, by this they'll know you're my disciple, that you love on the same standard that I love. And when that happens, it's contagious. People get in the presence of that kind of love and they're drawn to it. They're drawn to it. And when you release the love of God, people will catch it. Now I want to share with you this morning that this new commandment of love is not an easy thing. Because a disciple is a true follower of Jesus Christ. Or what we would call a Christian. If you are a Christian, you are a disciple. Look at somebody and tell them that. If you're a Christian, all right, now tell back to them what they just told you. Come on, if you're a Christian, you're a disciple. Why? I want you to get that in your mind. Why is that important? Because if you're not a disciple of Jesus, as Jesus defines it. How did Jesus define you as a disciple? That we love on the same level that he loves. Right? So if you're not a disciple as Jesus defines it, I didn't write the Bible, don't get mad at me. Then you're not a Christian. Don't shout me down. Come on. If we don't love on the same level that Jesus loved, then we are not a disciple. And if I'm not a disciple, you cannot be a Christian apart from being a disciple. Come on, church. We've got to represent Christ to this generation. They are fed up to here with churchianity. They're over all the false presentation of all this religious, you know, paraphernalia. You know, we're Protestants, right? Is that what they call us? Protesters. We protested. That's where the word Protestant comes from. But you know what? You go to Facebook and that's all you see, quote, Christians doing. Protesting. Protesting about they don't think this church is doing it right. Protesting about they don't think this person's really an authentic Christian. They're probably a devil in sheep's clothing. And then this person, they're against this. And they don't think this politician ought to do that. Here's what I want to know. What are you for? What are you for? What is the love of God compelling you to do other than judge, blame, finger point? Come on, Isaiah 58 says we have to lift up our voice like a trumpet. It's time for us to choose the kind of fast that God's chosen. Not just to abstain from food and make a show, but to literally touch and embrace the lives of broken people. That's what he was talking about. That's where the love of God is coming into this thing. And I'm telling you, we are in a love revival. We are in a love revival that's going to literally turn Northeastern Ohio upside down, because people are going to be drawn to the flame of love that's burning. Now, these are actual comment cards from an experience that people had while visiting, watch me, listen to my words, while visiting the Bridger Wilderness area. So get it in your mind, people pulling up in their car had their little hiking boots on, their backpacks, and their bottles of water. They knew they were going to a wilderness area. After their experience, they wrote comment cards to the staff. Here's what they said. Number one, trails need to be reconstructed. Please avoid building trails that go uphill. Excuse me, but this is a wilderness. Oh, it gets better. Are you ready? Listen to this. Too many bugs, leeches, spiders, and spider webs. Please spray the wilderness to rid the areas of these pests. Oh, you're going to love this one. Please pave the trails. Chair lifts need to be in some places so that we can get to the wonderful views without having to hike to them. Those coyotes made too much noise last night and kept me awake. Please eradicate those annoying animals. Look, this is not the Hilton. It's not Kalahari. Come on, you're not on a safari. It just looks like a safari. You're in a wilderness. Small deer came to my camp and stole my jar of pickles. Is there a way that I can get reimbursed? Please call. And he gave them their number. This is truth. This is actual. Here's another one. Escalators would help on the steep uphill sections. This is a good one. A McDonald's would be awesome at the trailhead. And then last but not least, they're talking about a wilderness. They said, you know what? There's just too many rocks on this mountain. I read that because often I can understand and relate that when people come to church, you did not come to a retreat center. We didn't come to a place when you came to Christ that you get everything you want. We came to the kingdom of God that we might love like God loves on the level of crazy, and let people know that He is real and that they are important. And it matters not my level of comfort or what it costs to me, but because I am ready to give everything to God that I have in my life. Ladies and gentlemen, if we can get a church, if we can get a group of people together that'll live on that level, I believe people will begin to get this love contagious thing going, and before you know it, people will be drawn like flies to a light. People will be drawn because they sense something that's authentic and real. And let me say this, Tony's son is here this morning. He worked with us for 3 or 4 or 5 days with his daddy. They had been reintroduced. Tony J is what I call him, Tony Jr. I'm calling him Tony J. And I want you to know, Tony J saw something in his dad that happened about 3 months ago. The love of God dropped down inside of his heart, and suddenly people were coming from everywhere. not because of what Tony was or who he is, but what was deposited in his heart was so contagious. Tony J., it was so contagious. That's why we're talking about him this morning. That's why you're drawn to him. That's why you're here today, because the love of God will transcend any kind of history and bring a person together. Come on, church. We need to thank God for the love of Jesus Christ. The people that made these comments don't know what it's like to spend the night in a wilderness. And so it is with many Christians. They don't know what it's like to be a genuine disciple of Christ. It means to love others. It's called the royal law. That's what James chapter 2 says. It's a royal law. It's called love. It is the commandment that fulfills all the commandments. Watch this. It's not just ascribing to the Lord, well, I believe in Jesus Christ now. I've got grace. I'm operating the grace of God. I'm not under the law. If you're not operating in love, you're not operating in grace. Because it's the love of God that fulfills all the commandments. It's the one commandment that Jesus gave. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You and I need to love on that level. It's called crazy kind of love. It makes no sense. You'll do things for others when they don't deserve it. You'll do things for others when they can't reciprocate. That's what James was talking about. He said, don't just let the man that's dressed fine sit next to you, but get the guy that has smelly clothes on and bring him up to the front and let him know that he is just as important as the person who's got all the money, who drove in a big Mercedes, who's got a big bank account and could help you out and network your business. It's the love of Jesus Christ. Tony spent some time in prison. Found Christ there. Got out and wrestled with his walk with God. You know how we do. Some of us make two steps forward, three back. Trying to figure this thing out called the kingdom. I think it's been 3 months ago. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he was in Mexico. Some bad things were happening down there. Found himself in a place where it was pretty serious. A gun was fired point blank three times, misfired. On the heels of a prayer, God, if you'll get me out of this, I will give you 100% of my life. Fill me, God, with passion and love for people. And I promise to serve you. The gun misfires three times. He comes back to Ohio. The very first thing he does is get in a car and drive to Wycliffe, Ohio. He pulls into a church that he sees is for sale. Drives in the parking lot. Tell me if I'm telling it wrong. Please help me. But he sits in a car and the Holy Spirit says, buy this church. Huh? I'm giving you this church for the ministry. Because he wants to feed the hungry. Wants to help reentry to prisoners coming out of incarceration so that they can get back into normal life. We want to feed the homeless. And he wants to use this as a place. He said, I'm going to use this church for your ministry. Put an offer in. They were asking 5 1/4. He offered $375. They said, okay. When they found out what he wanted to do with it, they sensed the love of God that was operating. There was only one problem. Tony didn't have any money. But how many know you don't need money when you've got the love of God abounding in your heart? You hear me, Tony J? You don't need no money. God said, I want you to put $50,000 down. Tony said, okay. This was like Friday. He had to have the money next Thursday. And then he wrote on the contract, Tony Trevisano or assigned, because God said I was supposed to be involved in it. So I get a phone call on a Saturday. Pastor, this is Tony. Can we talk for a few minutes? I want to tell you something. Remember that church that Mike McCandless was going to get you to look at? And it was already sold? That was me. I bought it. but I think you're supposed to be involved. We need to talk. I said, Tony, I think God's confused. Because if you bought it with no money and he told you to talk to me, we're in trouble because I don't have any either. I'm serious. I don't have a dime. I said, how much do you have to put down? He said, God told me to put down $50,000. I said, when do we need to put it down? He said, by next Thursday. I said, oh, Jesus. It's a true story. The love of God began to operate in his life, that he began to meet different people, contractors, prison ministries, chaplains, airport officials walking in on a board meeting, a C-130 cargo airplane owner that Tony said, I'm going to buy your airplane. You don't have any money, Tony. He said, I don't need money. He was a man of faith and a man of love. And all of a sudden, those of us that were getting involved were getting the splinter, the same splinter. Listen to me now. They were in the upper room, 120 of them. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, and cloven tongues of fire fell down upon each of them. If you go to the original Greek, it actually means God himself, his effervescence, his presence, his light, splintered off of himself and fell upon each person in that upper room, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what happened. The love of God so filled your daddy's heart that it began to splinter off, and it hit Nadine, it hit Mark, it hit Lowell, it hit Patty, it hit me, it hit everybody that was near him. You get close to him, you're going to catch something. Hallelujah. And you walk away with it. It hit you, Mike. It hit those that came in contact with him. He takes us all in a van to Akron to meet a man who's distributing food to 1,000 people a month of 24 different nationalities. Pastor Marvin Hodges now becomes a friend of mine because he met him through Tony. Now we're getting a connection to Giant Eagle. They want to give us as much food as we want, but we don't have any place to put it. Tony said, I met somebody that wants to give us their warehouse. Come on, church. Love is contagious. Love is contagious. I could go on and on and on. And Tony J., you may know all these stories already, but you're going to hear them one more time from me. I don't know how he gets a hold of a guy by the name of Pat, living in Indiana, who just by chance used to support Dr. Lester Sumrall, my mentor, for 30 years, feeding the hungry around the world. I told the story of the C-130 here one day, and it caught and ignited in his heart. And suddenly he said, Pastor, I'm going to buy a C-130. Next thing I know, on my email, I have a picture of a plane that he found in Louisiana. And they only want $6 million for it. That's okay. He got a contract for $2.3 million. And he said, you got to paint it. Throw in the extra engines and the wheel replacements, or I'm not buying it. And they said, okay. That day that he went to heaven, he was ready to go to Toledo to meet a guy who we think was going to finance the plane to give $2.3 million. Who, while we were in the emergency room, his phone rang, and it was this gentleman. We told him what was happening. Mike talked to him. And he said, when this is all over, I want to talk to your pastor. So it's not over. Because they now know that I was in revolve with Dr. Sumrall. That's where the story came. And while we were working Thursday, Tony said this, Pastor, when we fly that plane in, it's going to be painted white. And it's going to have the CNC logo, like you see up there in the circle. The CNC logo on the tail. We're going to fly it in. I want you to be there. I said, Tony, I'll be there. He said, but they told me I have to build a hangar. I don't have any money for a hangar, but I met somebody. I said, who'd you meet now? Mrs. Brown. I said, who in the world is Mrs. Brown? I don't know, but she is a billionaire. She heard about the humanitarian effort through the airport in Lake County, Lost Nation. Isn't that crazy? Lost Nation Airport wants to support this whole venture. Introduces him to Mrs. Brown. Mrs. Brown goes, I'm excited. I want to fly you to Louisiana on my private jet. Private jet? Can I take Dominic, your son, your grandson, to take pictures of this? I said, sure. So Friday they were going to Louisiana because he was going to ask Mrs. Brown for $10 million to build a hangar and a distribution center at this airport. Now here's a man that don't think could have bought you lunch, but his heart was so big and full of the love of God, anybody that came in contact with him was drawn. And it usurped every negativity. It crossed every barrier. People say, well, why did he have a heart attack? Why did he go to heaven? And one lady said it well as she brought flowers. He was a seed planted into the ground that came in contact with many of us, and our lives have been changed. We now have a refocus and a regathering of some of the purposes of God, not only from Tony, but God supernaturally working in our lives and other areas and other people. It's all culminating together to say, if you get revived this love message again, if you'll go to the hungry, if you'll go to the prisoner, Matthew 25, if you'll clothe the naked, if you'll do all these things, I will bless you. I will bring provision to you. And the church will begin to see. They'll see the love of God, and the world will begin to see, this is what we're waiting for. We're tired of Christianity that doesn't like the wilderness and complains when there's no escalator and complains when there's no this or that. But they are so sold out. Out of that experience in Akron where we went to the food distribution, we saw a big cafe area. We've had a love center for 13 years in Lorraine. Tom and Pam Hakem started it. You know how they started it? God said, feed the hungry. They didn't have a building. They didn't have any money. So what they did is they got their car. After church, they'd stop at the grocery store, put groceries in their trunk, drive down to the neighborhoods that they thought could use the food, open their trunk, put a sign and said, free food. Now they have their business on East 28th Street, and they've dedicated warehouse space. Lowell's there every week. I've been there many times. And we pass out food to 100 families or more for the last 13 years. Tina was at this new place at Pastor Marvin's, and we saw something. It expanded. Love began to expand. 24 different nationalities are coming to get food there. Many of the people can't even speak English. We met girls there from Afghanistan just 30 days ago in their Muslim garbs. And we connected. Tina connected with them. We met people from Nepal and Bolivia. And God said this, don't give them food. Become their friend. Be their friend. Anybody can write a check. Anybody can pass out food. When you meet them, invite them over for dinner. Wait, I don't love that much. Then you're not a disciple. Come on, church. We've got to love to the point where we're not fearful. We've got to love to a point where we are ready to sacrifice. We've got to love to a point that says, you know what? God has a plan for your life. Tina was at Walmart. I'm not bragging on Tina because Tina's just Tina and we're just Christians. But she met a little guy by the name of Enoch. And he was a checkout guy, right? He's checking out. She said, what's your name? He said, Enoch. He said, you know, you're a Bible name and blah, blah, blah. And told him about Jesus. And he said, I'm living in a shelter. I moved to Lorraine because I wanted to get out of my lifestyle in Cleveland. I've got a 2-year-old daughter and we're living in a shelter. And she said, oh, man, Enoch, you need to come to church. We need to help you. We're going to help you. We got to do something for you because our paths crossed. And something in him jumped on it because he was at church this morning in the first service. And people started kind of coming around him. And Enoch came up to me and I said, "Hey, Enoch, I've been hearing about you." I said, "I just want you to know I'm your grandpappy." He said, "If you'll be my grandfather, I'll be your grandson." I said, "Enoch, we're joined at the hip. I don't need a lot of history. I just need God's love." And suddenly he was drawn. And the stories go on and on and on. And that's what your father did, Tony. And that's what you're going to do. That's why you have to give your life to Jesus Christ. Surrender it 100%. Why? Because you can't get God's love in you without God's love. God's love is Jesus. And when you repent of your sin, ask him to forgive you of all that you have ever done, and ask him to come in and live in your heart will become erupted with the love of Jesus Christ. And not only will you be like your dad, but you'll be like your heavenly father, and your legacy will be even greater than what your father's was in 3 months. Because you have your whole life before you. You see what I'm saying? It's not a mistake that you're sitting here. God's put his hand on your life. Contagious church. I want to go to church and catch something. I don't want to go to church and be bored. I want to catch something. Listen to this. It's impossible to love unconditionally apart from a sacrificial lifestyle. I have to see people as more important than me. If I don't see people as more important than me, I can't love on the level that God loves. I have to look at people and say, "You're the most important person in my life at this very moment, and there's nobody any more important because we are meeting." I was coming up to see Mike B at the Hillcrest Friday night, and I was lost. I was walking around that hospital. I'm like, I don't know where to go. And this young lady came walking down in obviously a hospital gear. And I said, "Excuse me." I said, "I'm looking for such and such a room. And am I going in the right direction?" She goes, "You are. Wait here. I'll be right back and I'll take you up." Now, I have to tell you, I was exhausted that day. I'd worked all day. Just came from your house with your grandmother. And now I was over to Hillcrest. And she came back with a wheelchair. She did. She came back with a wheelchair. I said, "Is that for me? Do I look that bad?" Because she said, "I'll be right back and I'll take you up." And she came back with a wheelchair. What would you think? I said, "Oh, you work? Do you, is that what you do?" She goes, "Yeah, I'm discharging a patient." I said, "I'm about tempted to get in that thing right now." I had approximately 2.5 to 3 minutes with Jordan. I asked her what her name was, and that's what Tina and I always do. "What's your name?" Then we say, "Do you know what your name means?" She said, "No." I said, "Jordan, it's from Hebrew. The Jordan River has its origins in Mount Hermon. Three tributaries meet together to bring life to a desert that pours into Galilee, where Jesus did all his miracles. You have an amazing name." She goes, "Really?" I said, "You do." That little girl was with purpose. I had things to do. I was tired, sure. But when I saw her, I said, "God, you put her in my life right now for a reason. Let's discover it, Holy Spirit. Let's find out why." And I have to admit to you, there are times when I'm like too tired to even care what's happening. Thank you for telling me where to go. And I don't even say thank you. I've done that. So I'm not trying to tell you I'm like Mr. Jesus in flesh. But I'm telling you, when the love of God begins to bubble up in your soul, you'll begin to see people not as something that benefits you, but as an assignment that you have been given to benefit them. She said, "I can size people up pretty well." I said, "Do you do that during the day?" She goes, "Oh yeah, I see a lot of people. I always try to figure out." I said, "Tell me about me." I said, "Where am I from? What am I doing? What's my name?" She goes, "I don't know your name." I thought she was going to be prophetic. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to stop this mentality of attending the church of your choice. There's so much competition today to minimize the wilderness experience, at the same time pacify the attempt to be in the wilderness. We're not building escalators here. We're not removing the rocks. There'll probably be deer that'll eat your pickle jar if you leave it out. But recently, a cartoon appeared in a leadership magazine. It said this: a church had a billboard in front of its building. It said, "The Light Church." Then underneath, bullet point one, 24% fewer commitments. Bullet point, home of the 7.5% tithe. Bullet point, 15-minute sermons. Bullet point, 45-minute total worship service. Bullet point, we only have 8 commandments. You can choose which one you want to do. Bullet point, we have 4 spiritual suggestions. Bullet point, we only believe in an 800-year millennium. Everything you've always wanted in a church and less. This is a generation that feels entitled. This is a generation that wants something for nothing. This is a generation that believes that they deserve. Look, this isn't a mission field. We live among the 2% of the wealthiest people in the world. Some mission field, huh? How about the rest of the 98% of this world that are looking at the 2% wealthiest people on the planet to love enough to be able to send relief, to love enough to go into the dark places, to love enough to be able to reach out to the broken and the homeless and the helpless, to love enough to stop and talk to somebody who may not be the person that you feel the most comfortable with, but you feel the compelling love of God in your life? I have to tell you, Tony J, I was freaking out when your dad fell. I didn't know who to call. I didn't have a phone number. I didn't have your number. I didn't have your grandma's number. All I knew was Mark and Nadine's number. And I'm trying to call them, and it goes to voicemail. I'm like, no! What do I do now? And I'm breathing heavy. The adrenaline was flowing, and I'm in shock. And I tried to call Lowell, and I don't remember if I talked to you or not. And finally, you guys got the message, and you called Betty, and she met us at the hospital, and I raced behind the ambulance, and I went in the ambulatory entrance, and they're like looking at me, and it's like, you can't come in. I said, don't tell me that. I'm coming in this way. And I walked in, and the nurse met me. She goes, are you family? And I said, no. Yeah. He's my friend. And I lost it. I began to bawl. I cried. I was shaking. I didn't know what to do. And she said, do you need help? I said, yes. And she pushed me aside, put me in a room. And then the doctor came out and said, we've done everything. But while we were there, listen to this, while we were there, people began talking to me. The phone from this man from Indiana, right? He calls. I walk. A guy comes in with a construction shirt. Tony said, I'm going to get some donations from such and such a construction company. I think he's going to help us. I said, okay. Never met anybody. Didn't hear anything more. I'm standing outside the emergency room where Tony is laying. And this man comes up and he said, hi, my name is. And he told me his name. And he had the name of the construction company on his shirt. He said, can I talk to you for a few minutes? I said, yeah. He goes, well, look, I've known Tony all my life, and I'm telling you, something happened in the last 3 months. He is not the same Tony, because the guy I used to know, I couldn't trust, or I didn't know this about this, but I'm telling you what, in the last 3 months, this is a brand new man. This is a different person, and I tell you what, I want to do everything I can to help him, to help you, to be able to complete the passion and the mission. I just want you to know, I've got a lot of money. I know people that have a lot of money, and I'm going to help you. I'm like, great. While we were standing there, the next morning, Mark and I were there working, and he needed some more stuff. What do you call that? Dry compound, a dry wall. What is it? Mud. Yeah, he needed more mud. Mark plays in the mud. So I said, I'll go to Lowe's. I'll go get it. So I'm driving over there. And I'm driving back. My phone rings. He goes, "Hi, is this Pastor?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm such and such. I met you last night. You know who I am?" I said, "Oh," I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm just calling because I want to know, how are you doing?" I know that had to be pretty traumatic, and I'm just calling to check on you and let you know that I'm going to be there for you. Doggone, I hung up the phone. And I started crying in the truck. I called Tina and I said, "I just got a phone call from somebody that I don't even know that called me, want to know how I was doing." That afternoon, he showed up. He said, "Pastor, I'm going to tell you right now, what God did in Tony's life is not going to end. I'm going to get my buddy and me. We're going to mulch this whole area here. We're going to clean it up. I do sewer work. I'll fix anything you need fixed. I'll tile that floor for you. I'll do it for free. Matter of fact, how much tile do you need? I'll go buy it." I'm like, "Are you for real? I've been doing this 37 years. And I beg people to come to work days. Come on now, I'm not trying to tell you anything negative about anybody. I'm just telling you, it's not the normal." But love is not normal. And it causes people to do things that they ordinarily wouldn't do. It's what changed the disciples' lives. It's what will change our lives. That's what these tables are all about. It is a community of faith that we've got to create nets of love. We've got to get together. Why? Because Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47, it is the template of New Testament Christianity. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Continue, please, as I'm reading it. "Then fear came on every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need. And so continuing daily," not two times a month, "daily, with one accord in the temple, of breaking bread from house to house, and their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, and the church praising God with favor, and with all the people the Lord added to the church daily, those who were being saved." You know why? Because love drew them. When you get into these groups, it's a love net. When you gather together with the purpose of bringing your coworker into an atmosphere that's undeniably the love of God, when they walk in the room, the croissants don't matter, the pizza doesn't matter, what we're talking about in the Bible doesn't matter, how much you know or don't know doesn't matter. It's suddenly they walk in through a veil of God's supernatural love and they can't resist it. It's contagious and they get saved. You've got to get involved in this. I've got to get involved in this. It's Christ's love personified. You know, genuine love can change the direction in a person's life. Tony J, it changed your dad's life. And Tuesday, Wednesday, when I preach that funeral, I'm going to minister a word. It doesn't matter what time you are in on the clock of your life, whether you have 50 years left or 5 minutes left, the rewards of God are full and complete for whosoever will put their faith and trust in Christ. God will receive you. He'll love you. He'll fill you with the mercies and the love of God. I like the quote from a gentleman by the name of Justine Mayer. He said, "We must never be a church who permits our eyes to adjust to the dark." And I have to say, we've allowed our eyes to adjust to the dark. It's like the blind. They've learned their environment so well they can navigate through and never bump a knee on a chair. Like a church who lives in the dark, we've adapted to the dark. And I say, arise and shine. Let the light of God come and cause us to be lifted up with the love of Christ and the love of God in our hearts. It's time for us to let the light shine. And it's just simple love. I don't have to do anything but love you. I like our little saying, I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. Your dad revived that in many of us, Tony. Your dad brought us back to remind us with a gentle tap on the shoulder. I had a gentleman say to me who only met Tony 3 weeks ago, who's now serving as our general contractor free of charge to the church. By the way, we need help over there. If you'd like to help, the sanctuary's painted. Lisa, you're the best painter I've ever met. Adam, you're a close second. But Lisa's got you. We need to paint the foyer, the stairwell going up. We need to paint the upper room. We need to paint the basement. All of it needs to be painted, and the quicker the better. So if you can get over there this week, that'd be awesome. If you need a number to call, call my son to figure it out. And let me see what his number is. He's going to love me giving his number up. Dad, you did what? Okay. But if you get there around 10:30, and we'll work till early evening, you can call him at 440-465-0513, and volunteer. I put 2 weeks in there, but I can't be there this week. I'm speaking at a conference, and I've got the funeral, and I've got a bunch of other things to do. So I don't want the progress to stalemate. So if you can get out there and help us, even for a few hours, I certainly would appreciate it. Let me close this message. I said genuine love can change the direction in a person's life. Why? Because genuine love holds community together. The community of faith must become a surrogate family to those that have been ostracized and orphaned. I met this other gentleman who I said now has become our general contractor, who said he is so thankful that he's found a group of people that truly love. He said, Tony told me about you, that's why I'm here. I'm glad he told him about me in the right level. He said, Tony said, you love like no one's he's ever met. I don't think I deserve that. But after meeting Tony, he wanted to be a pastor. Did you know that, Tony J? Your dad wanted to be a pastor. He asked me, would I train him to be a pastor? I said, of course I will, but I'm tough. Don't come whining to me. This is a wilderness. No escalators and no McDonald's at the trailhead. I'll mentor you. The gentleman told him, as he was relaying to me, I'm finally found a community of faith that will help us bring these prisoners and re-enter them into life because they need a family. They often fail and go back into crime because they don't have support. They don't have a family. I'm going to ask you to step out, get into one of these groups. Wouldn't it be awesome if the prime timers adopted a reentry prisoner until they became completely successful and autonomous? Wouldn't it be awesome if the growing closer to God group, other than trying to grow closer to God, would grow closer to people? Wouldn't it be something if the one-year Bible club, instead of touting how much you know about the Bible, and we need to know about the Bible, but together would go down and touch the homeless, pass out a blanket and minister to the hurting and bring in a coworker who needs Jesus Christ. You see, we're only using these as fronts. These are only topics, but our real purpose is to invest in you, to show you the miracle power of God, and to be able to introduce you to the supernatural. Wow, I just feel like laying hands on you right now. Why? Because the power of God is here. The power of God will hit you in this meeting. The passionate mom, the biblical foundations of freedom. I'm telling you, church, this is our opportunity. I told you I was going to close, so let me do that. While the world says we're on our own, the church will show the world we are in this together. No more division. No more come to church on Sunday and everybody goes their own way and doesn't even see each other for the rest of the week or 2 weeks. But no, we are on a mission together because we're grouping together. We're going house to house and we're creating a love net. While the world tells us there's no greater power than the government, the church will show the world that God's love reigns supreme over the government's power. While the world's false religions fail to satisfy the hearts and minds of the multitudes, the God of creation offers the presence of the Holy Spirit and the love of Christ to a lost generation. And I close with this. Did I say that yet? John Hopkins University. Have you ever heard of it? Anybody hear of John Hopkins University? They did a study. Their graduate program did a study of inner city youth. 200 children. 12 to 16 years of age. It's an actual study that took place over 25 years. Their findings prior to this study concluded that 90% of those 200 inner city children would spend time in jail and continue to live in poverty and basically amount to very little in their life. It was a foregone conclusion. After 25 years, they went back to the 200. Some had remained in the inner city. Others had moved away. A few died. But they found that only 4 out of the 200 spent time in jail. Remarkable. They were astounded. They were so amazed upon their research, but they found one continuing to repeat as they would investigate and interview these young men. Now in their mid-30s. The grad students found that every person interviewed pointed to a teacher that they had in school. So they went to find this teacher that all 200 had experienced. By now, the teacher was living in a retirement home. This is a true story. They inquired about her remarkable influence over these children because they knew they were headed for a life of crime, but only 4 ever went to prison. After being interviewed, she couldn't think of one thing that she specifically did to influence them. They kept asking her, "What about the curriculum? What about the state programs? What about your system of how you presented your subject matter?" She goes, "No, I don't think it was anything out of the normal." She said, "But over and over in the interview, I sure did love my boys. It wasn't the curriculum, it wasn't the technology, it wasn't the special technology. It was love. Love was the instrument which Jesus used to change the lives of the disciples, to pull them away from thriving businesses, from long-standing traditions and religious observations. When they looked into his eyes of love, they suddenly dropped their nets and followed him. Love is crazy. Love will change the direction of the life of a person, and all we have to do is create a love environment, and that's what these groups are all about. A love environment to bring your friends, families, neighbors, co-workers, even strangers into it. Let them experience it, and I'll guarantee you they'll never be the same. Still, it is the love which is the primary tool in the hands of the church to revolutionize the world for Jesus Christ. Let me say this again. If it was Jesus who used his love to revolutionize the lives of the disciples, it is now the disciples who will use the same love to revolutionize the people in their world, no matter whose world it is. Hear me. It may be the world of the alcoholic, but guess what? Alcohol can't keep you there. It may be the world of the liar and the thief, but that world cannot stand against God's love. It may be a world of depression, but depression can't keep you bound. It might be a world of manipulation and pain and regret, but that thing cannot conquer God's love. It is the same tool, no matter whose world it is, that will bring you out and introduce you to the kingdom of God. It is the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm asking you, church on the North Coast today, that you would stand, not literally, stand up to this generation, look them square in the eye and say, look, I don't know what we've done thus far. I know there's a church on every corner. We don't seem to be changing much. But today I've got something in my heart that the Holy Spirit has deposited. It's called, according to Romans 5:5, the love of God. And I want to demonstrate it to you in very practical ways. I challenge every person, 18 to 28, you're bored with church? You think it's meaningless? Then come to the prison with me. Go pass out food to the hungry. Care for the dying. Hold a person's hand when they're in the hospice center. Sing to them Amazing Grace. I dare you! Ah. That's where the church is. That's where the church really is. That's the strength. It's when we go into the highways and the byways and we compel people to come in, not because of our church doctrine, no, but because of the love of God that will draw them because they see our lives as being genuine. Imani and Donnie are here this morning and they're going to close this meeting. Tina and I have to run. We have another commitment way on the other side of the county. Actually, the next county over. We have to be there, so I have to leave early. But I love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it. And Tony J, you got a home here, brother. I just want you to know that, all right? You got a home here. No matter what your world looks like today, God has a plan for your life. If you're here today wondering, what about your future? Come on, Monty and Donnie, join me up here. Or whoever's coming, I'm not sure. Here they come. Yeah, get a microphone and get yourself ready, Pastor Clarence. And give your life to Christ today. Be filled with the love of God. And if you're here today and you're not filled with the love of God and you're ascribed to be a Christian, come on, let's rededicate. Give God all in. 90% is not enough. 90% is not discipleship. 90% is 10% short. Don't be short. Let's give it to God. Let's give it to God. Let's give it to God. Let's change Ohio. I believe there's going to be a love revival that's going to sweep this northeastern Ohio part. And we're not going to let it go until it does. Amen? All right. Now look, I just want to say I love you. I really do. Don't be mad at me for telling you about not being a Christian if you're not a disciple. Are you mad at me? You all right? You all good? You good? Okay. Are you all good? You all good? All right. I don't want you leaving the church. Don't leave the church over. So I can't believe he said that. Well, please don't do that. Thank you, Nadia. And so I just want to let you know we love you. We'll see you Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. No, I won't be here. I got the funeral service. But prayer is 6 o'clock here on Wednesday night, okay? All right. God bless you, amen. Guys. We got to run. We'll see you later.
Let us say amen. Let us say amen. Let's give God a hand. Look. Amen. 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 You've heard pastors so beautifully explain how important it is to be a part of this love culture. And there is a love culture here at Church on the North Coast. At this time, we'd like to give you an opportunity to meet the people that will be leading each of these ministries. We want you to get involved. We encourage you to get involved. So at this time, I'm going to ask if Monty James would come forward, and she's going to introduce each individual that would be participating in the ministries.
You know what? I kind of quarantined myself. I have a lot of love to share, but I was one of those that would go to church and go home. And I thought I did my part. And it wasn't until I came here that I knew what my job was to do. So we're encouraging you guys to just spread that love, as Pastor said. So we're thankful for our leadership. If you guys could come up to your area, I'll call you off. Detail-wise, you can get that information afterwards, okay? So for our grief recovery, we have Terry Belt. Family Life Group, we have Donald and Feli Samidan. Are. And that's the thing too, a lot of times we don't know the person next to us. So find out who each other is and network, love on each other. All right, how to study the Bible. We've got Lynn Novak. Then we have our fearless women. Fearless women, we have Halima Arnold and Tiffany Morgan. They have a fearless walk, too. Law of Confession. Well, there's actually two groups. Law of Confession and Healing Ministry, Marcus Studmeyer. Biblical Foundations of Freedom, Sister Catherine Sears. I think I need to study right here. Passionate Moms Bible Study, Don Dewey. I'm looking at all of them. I could probably use all of them. So I'm going to challenge you guys because I'm challenging myself. I need to start attending some of these. Growing Closer to God, Doreen Moss. And B, Prime Timers. One Year Through the Bible, Janice Freeman. So we have life groups led by Kyle and Amanda Lott. To pray together, love on each other, and we need to start working out together. So we have James and Andrea Corey here. They lead our family fitness group, and I've seen them. I see them working out on Facebook. They do all kind of videos, so they like to have fun, so I encourage you guys to join them. Pastor Troy isn't here, is he? He does a ministry of increasing bandwidth. All right, we have the Covenants led by Pastor Cynthia Smallwood. And lastly, we have Publishing Boot Camp for Writers, Ms. Glenda Williams. I love the applause, but let's sign up as well, okay, you guys? All right.
And I'd just like to say to the pastor, You said it all, you know, in this sermon today. Love is, that's the most powerful, it's the most valuable currency that there is. And the best way to make that exchange, that transition of the love of currency, that currency of love, is through each other. That's the way he set it up. That's the way he wants it. That's the way he built us. The small group is the foundation of our faith. That's the way Jesus did it. And so let's get back to that and exchange that most valuable currency with each other, that have that intimacy. So please come up. Like the pastor said on one of my most favorite sermons he preached, chase the lion. Be courageous. Step out of your comfort zone. When I say this, I'm saying it to myself. Come out, get in these groups, make mistakes, love each other, and encourage one another.
Amen. You know, we have found in the church culture, as Pastor said earlier, that you get a lot of people that sign up, but who will allow the Lord to challenge their hearts and to show up? Once you have been impacted by the love of God, it's your assignment to love on others. So don't just come up and sign up, but make it a point to allow the Lord to work in your heart and that you will show up.
Well, right now, I'd love everybody just to stand up, and we're going to close in prayer, but we're also going to invite you to come up and just get connected with one of our life groups. But we also don't want to dismiss without giving an opportunity to come and get prayer and to invite Jesus to come into your life if you haven't done that yet, or if you need healing in your body, there will be opportunity for that as well. A lot of our altar ministers are up here at the table, but if you are available to pray with people, we're going to ask you to just go right under this screen over here. And if you need Jesus in your life, just come and pray with someone. Just come and share what you need with somebody. And we're going to believe with you that God is going to answer your prayer and he's going to move in and change your life forever. Let's pray. Amen. Jesus, we thank you for being here today. We thank you for what you're doing in our families. God, we are so blessed to have your presence with us. God, there's nothing more that we could even ask for. And we thank you, Father, that as we answer the call to love one another on a new level, every single one of us, even if we've been doing good for our whole life, God, we're doing better. We're going to do more. We're going to lay our life down completely, and we're going to love the one in front of us. We thank you, Father, for this powerful move of God that you are doing in our hearts. And we pray right now that lives would be changed from this moment. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So come this way. Don't go that way. Come this way. Get connected with a life group this morning. Amen.
Well, nothing can tear us.